previously on Two Past Midnight.
I've got a few extra people here that we're kind of teaming up in a group. A few more Americans, just kind of leveling supplies and stuff, and I wasn't sure if anybody had a surplus.
I was just trying to bring a little bit of happiness to her, so she's not so scared with all the craziness going on.
They supposedly put in word for us that they were looking for Keanu, which is my son, and we're hoping to get into the city, but our best chance of getting in just got shot in the head during that crap at the gate, so...
I believe I've found us a route. I want to make sure that you understand if I get you in, you owe me.
So what's anyone planning on doing during the evening shift?
I'm trying to think if I'm ever going to use this giant, obnoxiously heavy backpack radio I have, or I should try to black market it.
Well, here's the thing. If you have a backpack, it just occupies your carrying capacity in your backpack.
Mm-hmm.
So you get your strength again, essentially. Like,
I'm just trying to think if I could trade it for food.
You could.
Because it's got a value of 350. Yep. Which is more than most weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't got nobody to talk to. So, yeah.
You turn it on and you get, like, a classic rock radio station.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go out to the market with my backpack radio. I'm going to try to keep the backpack, get rid of the radio, and see if I can fence it to try to get some food, supplies, anything like that. I don't know if there's a storefront or how this works.
Well, let's see. I mean, what we would go with is bartering rules. And you're trying to get, like, just food, essentially, or, like, sell it for spare rounds and food, essentially.
Spare rounds and food. I wouldn't mind getting rid of the shotgun for an AK or something a little more reliable, a little different. I just didn't know if there's a, you know, again, I'm sure I'm not pulling up to a quick stop, but I wasn't sure with this many people if there's kind of like...
You're able to find somebody to buy the radio from you. So if you look on page 90, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is a supplies and quantities chart.
Gotcha.
Now, within that, the common one, the very top one, any kind of combination of that, be my guest.
Okay.
So it's like knives, clubs, pistols, hunting rifles, shotguns, submachine guns, assault rifles, hand grenades, anti-personnel mines, small arms, ammunition, weapons, weapons gear, flashlights, gas masks, med kits, basic tools, spare parts, small stills, tents, food, alcohol, fuel, improvised explosives, backpacks, fatigues, tents, or fishing gear. Any kind of combination of that, I'm going to say you're able to trade for the radio up to... the cost of that.
Okay, so like I have a 350 bullet radio, right. And I have the 200 shotgun. So like, let's say I could pal around 550.
Sure.
Why not? Move on, and I'll come back to you.
I'll be nice. I'll just be like, yeah, we'll just call it an even trade for however you want to spend that from the things in that section, which also would include rations, and but like the most rations. And let's see, you would be able to get out of that would be 14, just because of supply, basically. Oh, supply, yeah. And demand. Yeah, like 14 rations would be the most you'd be able to purchase in this purchase. So let me know if you're going to get ammo or whatever else, and we'll have to roll for what's available, essentially.
100%.
Yeah, okay. Of those, because there's that quantity section right beside it, and we'll go from there. Okay. Chris, what is Murph doing during the evening?
I think he's going to take the advice of resting before we make our travel.
Okay.
I don't think going to help him trade is a good idea, so my empathy is horrendous, so... just gonna stay in the tent. I would say talk to Emmett a little bit more about... talk to Emmett a little bit more about Keanu. I mean, that's exciting news. We know where he was a week ago. So, Emmett, sounds... This is good news. It sounds like, Keanu, a good chance that he's alive, and if he was in that tank. But we're pretty sure he was at least, 3 weeks ago? A month ago?
No, I mean, it's just a burnout shell of a tank, so just because there wasn't any bodies there doesn't mean anything. They could have just shot him away from that tank and they ain't found the body. Best thing I can do is try and get some... We need to get some supplies together. See if we can't touch base with the chapel inside. See if there's any word back. Possibly touch base with Harrison. I don't know where those guys would have gone after the town got blown apart. They could have... Who knows? But see if we can't rendezvous with them and see if we can't see what information we can get from the church. Possibly from the... whatever's left of any kind of command structure we've got here in the city. And then, yeah, I'd say we need to get heading northeast to last known whereabouts.
I'm going to take this as a positive. At least we got some information that can lead us in the right direction. Obviously, we need to go into town and see if we can find those guys. I mean, hell, I want to see what Harrison and Mr. Stan are up to. Who knows with those two?
Yeah, well, I mean, at this point, as it has been this whole time, the fact of the matter is the only thing I have is I don't have a body. It's addition by subtraction. The only hope I have is the fact that I don't actually have my son's corpse. So let's hopefully this Valentine can get us in and we can get some supplies and get headed north as soon as possible.
Well, I'm working under the assumption that he's alive, so gives us hope, something to fight for.
All right, we see the girl over in the corner, just kind of resting.
Is Emmett still resting? Or
he's been talking to Emmett and Murph were talking, so they're just doing whatever they're doing. So,
well, I mean, that's a whole shift to do something. So,
I mean, I figured they were resting, so, or just not doing anything. Emmett?
Yeah, I mean, that's... I mean, honestly, with just coming into the camp and the condition that Emmett's in, he's not going to walk away from the girl, leave her here.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to wander around too much. He would really just kind of, I mean, almost try and fortify LT's little thing and just keep his head down until we can get moving.
Yeah.
I'm just curious the price of a ration.
That is actually...
Page 131.
Yeah, 131. And then it depends on if you're looking for domestic, wild, or, you know, like, MREs.
So 20 per MRE, 10 per domestic ration, and 5 per wild ration.
Mm-hmm. The MREs last longer. That's the main difference there.
And way less.
Mm-hmm. No, wait, what was the other thing we were talking about before that? I got distracted with that question.
Sorry.
The girl.
Oh, yeah. So she's over there, kind of resting in the corner. Mr. Jablonski starts to stir a little bit and actually kind of come to, slightly regain consciousness. Cal.
Ugh. How long was I out? Yeah.
You're out for quite a while there, bud.
How is it I arrived here? Are we in Krakow?
We're outside of Krakow.
Hmm.
Emmett pretty much carried you the whole way, even during a riot. You should ask him.
Thank you, Mr. Emmett.
There ain't no reason to thank me. I just did what I thought was right. The Lord gave me the strength to keep you on my back, so...
I don't know many men who would carry someone through all of this hell. Much appreciated. Still not feeling great, but...
Well, then you should rest. I mean, you seem to be in about as safe an area as we're going to find at this point in time. Plan is we're heading into the city. We're going to try and get some supplies and hopefully get some info. But you should hang out here and rest. This is LT's place, and it's just outside the city and basically a refugee camp. You should be relatively safe here. It doesn't seem too chaotic outside of the gate guards wiping people out.
Sounds like I missed all of the fun.
And they're not going to let you in while you're sick.
It doesn't seem like they're going to let anybody in regardless.
In the background, you can hear the commotion of people, just the in general like bustle of this refugee camp. I mean, it's not like, you know, everyone's happy and cheery bustle, but it's like you can hear voices every once in a while walk by the shack, and you can hear people in adjacent shelters. You can hear people cough as they walk by. There's a lot of like and it kind of has this sickly smell to the refugee camp.
Well, I will, as they say, hold down the fort. Perhaps I will find my own way in at some point, but oh, it may be a little bit of time.
Well, everything you've done for us is much appreciated. And we will, once we get ourselves together here, we'll circle back around. We got a little bit of intel saying possibly northeast was the last place that my son was seen, so... But with what we have right now as far as equipment after the rain of fire that we went through, I don't know that we can make it.
This is very good that you hear of your son. It's excellent that you have a lead. When you... finish your errands, if you will. Swing on by, and hopefully I am to be feeling much better by then.
I hope so. Lord willing, we'll be back around to get you. But as of right now, we need some supplies, and still feels like we're grasping at straws, but at least we got something to go on.
Sounds like a plan.
About this point, we're heading into the later part of the evening, and LT comes back with whatever it was he was able to beg, barter, and trade for his radio.
All right, so I just picked up 5 rations just to feed everybody for the evening. Just enough to fill, yeah, something that's not going to last, but just everybody can get something in them for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm getting rid of the radio, and I am getting a hunting rifle.
Okay.
So it's just, you know, the generic civilian stuff. So we're looking at the bolt action rifle, the 30-06.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we are getting 1 magazine of 5. Unless I can I trade barter M9 for 30-06?
Sure. Why not?
So I have 5 reloads of M9. I'd like to get rid of it.
You're able to get 30-06.
Okay, so I'm going to get rid of 2 reloads for the M9 and get 2 reloads for the 30-06.
Can I make a recommendation? Just because it'd be cool. I think you should also try to get 357 ammunition.
I was just thinking that for the worthless pistol. Yep.
All right, so yeah, you're able to get enough for an even trade on the 30-06.
Okay. So I'll get 2 reloads for the bolt action and 2 reloads for the 357, which will leave me with what's in my M9 plus 1 reload. And it will be, I'll essentially come out with 25 extra bullets.
Okay. Yep, that's reasonable.
Which I'll just go ahead and say is more 30 on 6. So it'd be like, we'll just say 30. So I'm keeping my shot, or yeah, I'm keeping my shot button, but that gets rid of the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts me down to very little M9, but I've had no luck this entire campaign with M9.
I mean, you're about to head into an urban area.
No one's had. Fuck the M9. Fuck that thing.
Trade it for a 1911. There you go. No. Yeah.
All right, so I come back in, and I have the bolt action rifle, and I hand it to Murph. You mentioned a sniper rifle.
Ah, this'll do. I can make this work.
This is given with the expectation that you will watch my back.
Absolutely. And I can work with this. Thank you.
Here's some bullets for it. I've got my shotgun, so if they're farther than 10 feet away, you got them.
Raph, does that come with a scope?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. In the picture.
Just checking.
Tell you what, you spend the ammo on the scope, and deal. I'll say yes.
Deal.
Because a scope has a price, too.
Deal.
Okay.
And Emmett, I couldn't help notice you got a revolver tucked in there. The guy had an excess of some of this ammo, so I thought I'd give you enough to fill that thing up.
Well, all right. Much appreciated.
And it's not much, but here's enough for all of us to eat this evening. It's a little bit of potatoes.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
We got a local farmer, apparently, so it'll at least get us some food in our bellies. And, you know, maybe if we're not grumbling on the way, we won't get caught. So that will actually feed all of us. And the girl and Jablonski.
Can I just point out, it was episode 18, I believe, when y'all got that 357 in the first place?
And it's been just a club since then.
Yeah, I think it was episode 23 that I got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That was episode 23 also. Yep. Anyway. So how many reloads does the 357 have now? Just one? Just one load? Like six bullets?
Yeah, it's got the six in it and then one reload. So like 12 total bullets.
Nice.
How about the, how about the hunting rifle?
You've got what's in it plus one more round of five. So you got one reload. I spent the rest on optics.
By optics, you mean the scope?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Many, many thanks.
Again, sir, this is an investment in my future.
Well, hopefully it serves us well.
Your rifle and your pistol will do nothing if you step on a mine.
They didn't sell those armor-reinforced boots, so we're counting on you to step for us.
That's what Valentine says as he shows up.
I was in character. I knew what I was doing.
I know, but I wanted to, like... point out, he just shows up. Valentine shows up.
You actually start on me because I was like, "Oh, jeez, I'm a little skittish."
It's dark enough, right?
Yeah, we are headed into the nighttime. Someone roll me a d6. As you guys, well, you know what? Before we roll the d6, so y'all are gonna start headed towards Valentine's route in. So tell me what that looks like.
Valentine shows up. And he goes, "It's time. Get your belongings. We leave in 5 minutes.
Is Valentine obviously armed in some way, shape, or form?
Jeremy? I mean, he's got two arms.
Roll a recon. We'll do it that way.
All right. Recon is...
I mean, it really should just be the person with the highest recon that rolls that. So I would say that's probably going to be Murph.
I would say that's probably going to be Murph then, because, yeah. We know, yeah. I am the lowest recon.
Mm-mm. Not since I'm here.
Still think I'm probably lower than you. I'm on par with the little girl.
Okay, recon roll, see if I notice.
Sure. Yep. I'm going to say it's an opposed one.
Only one success.
What is it if it's a tie?
Yours is pushable. His is not.
Mine is?
Yes. Because his is passive, yours is not.
Oh. That's a one.
Okay. Was that a push?
Yeah. Does that matter?
Point of stress.
Okay. That's fine. He's been wandering around the camp. That's fine. You can see the outline of a sidearm, Murph, like on his person.
Yeah, it doesn't alarm me at all. I would assume he was armed.
Are we ready?
Absolutely.
I will not wait for you. If you do not keep up, that is on you. Step where I step, go where I go. And he takes off. At an easy pace.
At a medium pace.
At a what pace?
A medium pace.
Medium pace.
Yeah, give me the marching order. What does this look like? I'm assuming Valentine first.
Valentine first.
Because he's leading the way. What's his normal recon, by the way, Jeremy?
He has specialties, so I don't know. Normal is an A and a C.
Okay.
But he also has scout and intelligence, so I don't know if... That.
Okay, what does scout give him a bonus in what situations, and what does intelligence give him a bonus in what situations?
Okay, stand by. Scout gives you plus one to recon when spotting others and avoiding ambushes. Intelligence is when the ref tells you the stats of the people you have just observed.
Okay. But that's not what I'm rolling for. Okay, this is what I wanted to know. All right. Okay. All right. So y'all start headed off. We see the group of them, Valentine first, and who's second, third. Tell me the marching order, like I said.
I'm trying to think how we want to do this. Do you want me up front for the recon?
Yeah, I would say as we would go, you being as gung-ho as you are, I'd say you'd be right behind him. Then I would say the girl with Emmett pulling up behind her, and LT behind Emmett.
I mean, that kind of makes sense, marching order-wise, based upon, quote, rank, end quote.
Captain's in the middle.
Yeah, definitely air quotes on that one.
Presumed well, rank.
It was more about the girl than anything.
Oh, yeah, no, she's in charge. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, she's,
that's what I assume.
As far as I'm concerned, she's wearing the captain's bars now. She looks at Emmett, and then Polar says, look at me. I'm the captain now.
But in reality, my recon isn't really going to be helpful, I guess, besides noticing something, because he's getting us through the area.
Right. What is your recon?
B and a B.
Okay, I'm going to say you can assist his recon.
Awesome.
Because that just makes sense. I mean, it's what you guys are doing. All right. Sorry, I'm rolling secret rolls right now.
You said B and a B, right? Murph?
Yes.
Okay.
That's slightly better.
All right, so y'all start going past. Like, we see that marching order. We see Valentine, and then we see Murph, and we see Emmett with the little girl, and we see Lieutenant... God damn it. What's his name again? Lieutenant Bones?
Bruce.
Lieutenant Bruce.
Bruce the Almighty.
We see Lieutenant... Doesn't matter. He's going to die soon anyway. Walking in the back.
Wow, the curse is... The Jeremiah curse has moved on to Kyle in full force.
Yeah,
right.
And, so we see them going along, and as they're going along, we see that group starting to walk by the sign that says, danger, mines ahead, and it says it in Polish, and you see a sign that says it in Russian, you see a sign that says it in English, French, fucking German. every language of like NATO countries anyway. And we see them moving into this area of debris and rubble. And we get to kind of see them disappearing into the night. Kyle, roll me a D6 for weather.
Drum roll, please.
A 6, baby. Woo. Wait, we don't. Do we want more cover or less cover?
I'm good with a 6 because we're walking through a minefield.
In the dark. So.
Yeah.
The not.
any like it's a mixed blessing.
Yeah, I don't know that there's any really good way to go about this.
By the way, I would like to point out, since we're heading into the evening, this is the night of May 31st at this point. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow will be the 1st of June, so while they're going along, it'll change over to the month. This is the second time this has happened in this campaign that we've gone to a new month. And and apparently it's a new moon right now. So it is. So
cool.
The sky clears. That's why I was curious what it was.
And it's just
the
stars.
Sky clears, but you don't see a moon, but you can see all the fucking stars up there. You can see the slight glow of lights off to the south of you coming from some areas within Krakow. You can kind of just see this glow. It's not real bright, but you can see like there's a patch here, patch here, patch here, where like there's a slight glow coming from. None of the street lights are on, obviously, but like in your area. And every once in a while you see like a spotlight go across this area we're going through, and Valentine will like get everybody to like duck behind an area, and then you move forward and you're moving through this minefield. You see a group patrol along the edge. Valentine and Murph, you see them, and it's probably, I don't know, maybe half a dozen. Like, from what you can pick out, you see about half a dozen of the Polish security forces for Krakow going by, and they're just kind of like walking the perimeter along the fence line, and they don't seem to notice you. But you're still making your way to where you know that there's a break in it. It's going to be a little ways ahead. Still,
I'm assuming we're using like hand signals, right? Like,
probably, yeah. Jeremy,
sir,
roll me a recon roll.
Okay, that is 2 successes.
That means 2 of us live, the rest die.
So, up ahead, a little ways, you see another group, maybe about 50 meters or so. You can see this group of, say, 14 or 15 people also kind of like moving through this area, but they're a little ways ahead of you. They don't appear to be the security forces, though.
Do I get to use the intelligence specialty now, where you tell me their stats and whatnot?
Sure.
Okay.
They could be a good diversion.
Let me see. Okay, so it's just a flat recon roll, and if I succeed, I learn their stats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an 11, so. And that's a 7, so. 3 successes?
They appear to be a group of civilians, of refugees, that are like... You can hear like the coughing coming from the group ahead of you, and
right.
Based upon the way they're going, they're moving through here, they seem like they're looking for a way in.
Okay.
But it doesn't seem like they know exactly where they're going, but it seems like that's what they're looking for, is a way into the city.
We wait here. Those idiots will explode themselves or get through, and if they get through, we will follow them. If they explode, we will still follow them.
Well, they could also get the attention of the guards, and maybe that gives us an easier way in.
That is why we wait here.
I'm concurring with you.
All right, so y'all are going to wait and let them go past ahead?
Yes.
Okay.
Just as long as this doesn't end with us getting blown up, I'm okay with the plan.
All right. You wait for them to go ahead of you. and they move out of your line of sight. Roll me a recon roll again. Same thing.
One success.
Okay.
Scary. Especially since you just lost a character to an explosion.
Yeah.
So up ahead, you see a solo figure, just one person. If you want to roll to see you're assessing them, be my guest.
I do.
Okay.
Those I do really good on. I got a 7 and 11 again, so that's 3 successes.
By the way he's walking, it appears to be an elderly man who's kind of shambling a little bit. And he seems to be kind of, like, he's not with that other group, because that group's long gone. Like, you don't see them anymore. But he just seems to be, like, he's looking for something. You're not really sure what, obviously, because you're not a mind reader. But it looks like he's looking for something. Like, he's digging through rubble and kind of looking around. And every once in a while, he'll, like, stop and look down at the ground. And then kind of walk away a little ways. But that's what you see. What do y'all want to do?
Is it normally this crowded on this secret way in?
There are lots of ways in, and there are a lot of people that want to get in the city.
Ref, as soon as the old man disappears or goes out of line of sight, like 5 minutes after that, Valentine will go.
Okay, for that, I will need a recon roll from the worst of the recon to see if he notices. But that's a pushable roll also.
Emmett or the LT?
I am a B in nothing.
I'm a survival or recon?
Recon.
It's a hiding recon.
So C and a D, which one's better? Jeremiah, with your table of wisdom.
Numbers? Yeah, stand by.
C, D, or straight B?
You'll get a plus one for the terrain.
Okay, so C, C, or B, D.
CC is a 61%, and BD is 59%. So BD.
I'm the worst.
So then that's you.
One success.
Yeah.
One success.
That's something.
Did you take the plus one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was where they were.
The reason I got the D.
Wait, what? Which is the one that had the success on it, so hooray.
It's a pushable roll. Do you want to push that roll?
Heck yeah, I'm going to push the... I got another success.
Yeah, boy!
Yeah, boy! Dos successiamos.
All right, so you see him shambling around, and he's like I said, going through debris, going through rubble, kind of looking around. And he's doing this for about 10, 15 minutes or so, and you can kind of hear the distance of him, like, mumbling to himself. And you guys are about, at this point, 400 meters outside of the actual refugee camp and about 200 meters into what would be the minefields, right? And you're kind of going along, and, you know, he's meandering about and kind of talking to himself, but, like, off in the distance. And you can just hear him, like, every once in a while, he'll, like, yell something out, you know? But it's in Polish, and it's like, God damn it, piece of shit, fucking shit, can't find the fucking shit. Again, wanders off, and he's off on his way, and he didn't appear to have noticed you, and you all begin to move forward. We're doing this in, like, stretch increments, by the way. Like, that's
yeah, because that's only more terrifying.
Because that's how urban stuff works.
I hate that word.
Agreed.
I mean, that's where you're at, so, you know. Jeremy, recon roll.
Flat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a 6 and an 8, so 2 successes.
Okay. Again, you start moving forward again, and you go ahead another 200 meters, and you're kind of making your way through all this debris and, you know, wrecked buildings and, you know, walls that are still kind of, like, standing, but the rest of the building's fucking collapsed and piles of fucking rubble. and craters from shells and, you know, bullet-ridden walls and corpses. Every once in a while, you'll come across corpses here that have just been here for a while, or ones that are, like, maybe relatively new, just, like, out here. And every once in a while, you can hear the sound of the city just, like, off in the distance. Every once in a while, you can hear, like, a car, maybe, or some sort of vehicle just on the other side of this wall and the barricades that are maybe gunfire off in the distance. And as you're moving along, you come up on this area where, like, you're still, like, on the other side of this wall, and you see another barricade across the street, and you can see, like, a couple soldiers of the militia, like, looking out. Like, there's four of them, basically, and they're looking out across, and you catch them before they notice you. And I'm assuming you're all going to stay put and try to hide again.
We'll stay put until the shift change, until they leave the area. If they do not leave the area, then we will go around.
Okay, go ahead and roll me another recon roll from the lowest person.
Oh, man. That is the B and the D again.
One success.
Okay. Would you like to push that roll?
Yes, I'll push the six.
Okay.
I got another success. Oh, two shit, successes.
Got it.
By the skin of my teeth.
That's back-to-back pushable successes.
All right, so off in the distance, we see, you know, the four of them, and they're kind of talking. You see, like, a couple of them light a cigarette, and they're just up there bullshitting. They're looking out, and, like, at one point, it looks like they're looking directly at the group, and the guy stops and, like, peers out in your direction. And the guy beside him says something, and he turns and it's like, they get back to, like, they're laughing about something, blah, 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 and you see him kind of, like, wander off. And about 10 minutes later or so, you don't see him anymore.
Okay. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to throw up.
All right, we go. Now, let us move now.
All right. Roll me. Recon roll.
That is an 8 and a 1.
Okay.
One success.
So as you're going along, you're getting close now to the area. Like, you're, like, it's right up here. It's going to be in this hex. And you see this vehicle sitting there. It's, like, half blown out. Part of it looks like it's been blown up, but it's just sitting there in the middle of this field of rubble. What do y'all want to do?
The fuck?
You think there's anything cool left in that there car?
This place is like Hades from the old stories. Do not eat anything from here. We go around. We do not touch. Take nothing. We go. We do not have time.
Yeah, this is definitely not the time to be scrounging.
If you pick things apart in here, you will die.
Gotcha, gotcha. Head down and head forward.
You just want to make your way around the vehicle? Like, avoid it, basically.
Yes. Entirely. 100% avoiding it.
Okay. Roll me a recon roll. For hiding.
For hiding?
Yep.
Emmett? No. LT? That's you.
Yep. Kyle.
Not me again. Two success.
Oh, fuck yes, man.
I like this new character.
Fuck yeah, LT. Get him.
Two successes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Awesome.
So as you are going around this vehicle, Jeremy, both you and Murph, you see people, like, looking in the direction of this vehicle. Like, not on the city side, but on the, like, outskirts side. You can see people kind of sitting there watching that area. Almost like they were trying to stage an ambush of some sort.
This is why we go around.
All right, and you start coming up on the that old house that you know where you can kind of like make your way in through the wall. There's like this boarded up window that's not quite as boarded up as it could be, and you can easily like push it open, and like you know that if you make your way through here, there's a hole inside of between that house and the next one beside it, so you can like kind of weasel your way through the buildings that are here past the quote wall, end quote.
We go through the window here, and then we will make our way through the buildings to the other side. Once we're on the other side, stay quiet still. We are too close to the barrier.
I'm all about snooping and pooping.
All right. Roll me a recon roll.
From me again?
No, this one's from Jeremy.
Yes.
I got a 4 and a 5. I'm gonna push it.
Okay.
And I got a 6 and a 7. So 2 successes.
Okay. As you're starting to make your way through, you make your way through the buildings, and you're past the initial parts of the barricade now. Like, you're outside of the minefield and headed into what would be the city. You're still, like, in areas of rubble and, like, blown out sections. I'm pretty sure you can see the map where you're kind of at right now. Like, it's still blasted to shit and, like, bits and pieces of stuff. But as you're going along, you can start hearing in the distance. You're just like rumble sound. And up ahead, you see this tank rolling by, and it's a Polish tank. You can tell.
Want no part of that.
And it's running catty corner to you. Roll me a recon roll. The lowest person again to hide.
Sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. Don't fuck this up.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. You've done so good so far. This is
no successes.
Would you like to push that roll?
I would like to push this roll.
I'm going
to
throw up. Come on. This is not good. Oh, come on, Kyle.
No successes.
This is amazing.
I mean, we went three and out, so.
So this tank's going along. And you guys are all tucked. Tell me what it looks like you guys hiding. Like, as you guys kind of scurry to hide. Jeremy, what does it look like for Valentine?
Valentine stops and he sees the lights of the tank and he hears it. And he just slowly backs away and puts his back up against this wall. And he's kind of looking out the side of his eye, but he looks completely unperturbed. He's just calm and slowly moving back out of the view.
Brian, what does Emmett look like?
Emmett kind of nabs the little girl from basically the back of her shirt and kind of pulls her close to him as he kind of pushes her up against the side of the building and puts his body kind of in front of her, kind of blocking her off up against the wall.
This isn't Murph's first rodeo in trying to be stealthy, so he just slowly melts into the shadows and crouches behind part of the rubble.
Lieutenant.
I apparently trip and fall.
All right, so we see Lieutenant trip and fall. And as he does, the tank goes and it kind of stops moving forward. And we see the turret start to turn in that direction. And we cut away. We hear poof, 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 this thumping sound of fists hitting flesh. And like all of a sudden, light comes up and we see poof, 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 poof. And we can just see this face like jerking back as these fists are hitting him. And all of a sudden, for a second, that stops, those punches stop. And we can see like the swollen eyes and like the busted nose, blood coming out of the corner of his mouth and his nose. And we recognize it's Yuri, and we hear another voice in Russian, and he says, I'm pretty sure you know what we're looking for. Where is it? And Yuri says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. I have no any idea what the hell you're talking about. He's like, Yuri, where is it? I don't know where it is. I didn't have anything to do with it. It's not even. Last I saw it, it was 3 months ago. I haven't seen it since. And then, bam, bam. We could just see this like large figure from behind, just like smashes him right in the face, and like kicks him in the chest. And the chair that he's tied to falls backwards, and bam. And all of a sudden, he's just getting kicked in the ribs. It's like, Yuri, you know, this could end at any point. All you have to do is tell me. Where is it? So I'm telling you, I don't know. I have no idea where it is. And then, bam, and all of a sudden the lights go out. And we hear the sound, we hear... And we hear Yuri hit the ground as he's tossed into this small crate that's probably just big enough for a person to be in the fetal position when they're inside of it. And you hear, ka-chong! The door slams shut on it. And we'll be back again tomorrow, Mr. Igorov. And maybe your answers will change then. And he walks away. In the background, in this dimly lit room, we see a few other small crates, and we can hear people in the back. We hear somebody crying in the back corner. We hear a man just kind of whimpering. And like just adjacent to Yuri's, probably about 6 meters or so off to his left, and he's all like on the ground and just barely conscious. And you see blood kind of pooling up on the cement floor. And we see a woman in this other crate next to him, and we recognize the woman, and it's Natalie from the CONUS parts of this campaign. And we hear Yuri go,
I hope it went better for you, Natalia.
You look like you had it a lot worse than I did, honestly.
And you can see a black eye on Natalia, and you can see her nose has been broken. And you can see some blood, like, scabbed on her lip. And, yeah, maybe, Natalia, maybe. But
I'm not sure how long they expect this to go for.
The big man looks like he took it on you. Pretty hard. Are you okay?
Yes, I am fine, I am fine. Natalia, please. I would like... If you would, could you tell me about your horses again? I'd like to hear about the horses.
The horses. Yeah. Growing up in Minnesota, my parents had a horse ranch. It was fairly large, but the horses, they, mostly Arabians. They, spirited creatures. My parents always thought that they were, you know, it was a sign of wealth. You know, their bourgeoisie bullshit. It was just a way of flaunting the things that they could own. And these beautiful, beautiful creatures. And they just... so cruel to them. But... And they always tried to make me... tried to force me to master these creatures. And all I ever wanted to do was just let them go. And they bought me this Tennessee Walker, this beautiful, beautiful stallion. He was amazing. He was 17 hands, I think. And he was the most beautiful creature I have ever seen in my entire life. And all I wanted to do was watch him run and to put a saddle on him. And it just seemed the cruelest thing in the world to me. Did you have horses when you were growing up?
Yes, on our farm we had horses when I was a child. But we used those mostly for riding around the farm. Less recreational, more work, if you will. Kind of like your cowboys.
Like our cowboys. There weren't so many cowboys in Minnesota.
No, I thought that was what all of you Americans were.
Oh, that's a poor perception of Americans. Not all of us are cowboys.
In the background, we see this mirror that's looking out on it, and we realize it's one of those two-way mirror, and we kind of move in through and past it, and we see that man that was asking Yuri the questions before, and behind him you can see a large figure standing by a sink, and he's wearing a wife beater that's got blood on it. We can kind of see him washing his hands, and he starts taking the wife beater off, and we can just see him covered in tattoos. And this Russian man in Russian says to him, "So what do you think of that Yuri and Natalia? What do you think of them?"
"I think that Yuri will be fine. He is a tough one. He is a hard bastard to break. I could break him with more time, but I do not think it is necessary to determine the man he is. But the Natalia, she is soft, and she will break in the heartbeat. You should kill her now. She is not worth the extra effort."
"She may talk, but she is good at lying, at the very least."
And he turns the man that was standing at the sink, and we see Valentin. Looks younger than we've seen him up to this point. And we cut to, we see her in Conus. She's tied to a chair, and bam, bam, bam. In the background, we see Frank saying, "You know, Natalie, I don't believe your answers. All I'm saying is, I think you're full of shit. And my friend here also thinks you're full of shit."
"Frank, I don't know what to tell you. We're just traveling south. We're just testing the water, trying to find out what's happening in Cynthiana."
"Where are you coming from, Natalie? Where are you coming from?
We're coming from the north. We're just coming
down.
Bam!
From where, Natalie? From where?"
"Outside of Cincinnati." "It was
bam!
Outside of Cincinnati.
Bam!" We cut to black.